Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. This is The Takeaway. We have some numbers for you now, but none of the numbers we're going to mention in the course of this segment or any of the numbers we're going to speak about this morning can even begin to convey the sense of devastation in Japan, where an 8.9 or an 8.8, depending on what seismology school you're from, magnitude earthquake struck Japan several hours ago, followed by an enormous tsunami, a wave of 12 to 13 feet hitting northeastern Japan and causing devastation in coastal communities, the magnitude of which is only just beginning to be assessed. I mean, these numbers don't even come close.
No, they can't. I mean, you can compare them even with past quakes, and that maybe gives you a better idea, but you really can't even begin to comprehend.
And it's not just a Japan story. This is along the entire Ring of Fire, where the tsunami is now headed. It's past Taiwan, apparently avoiding devastation there. We're joined now by Emily So, who's a research civil engineer with the U.S. Geological Survey, which, of course, monitors this constantly, and New York Times reporter Kevin Drew, who's in Hong Kong in the middle of the Ring of Fire. Kevin Drew, good morning, and you're helping to assemble reports for the New York Times. What's the latest?
Hi there. Well, the latest right now is we're still assessing, seeing damage assessments come in across Japan. The tsunami is already supposed to be reaching the Philippines, and within a half hour, 45 minutes, experts down in Indonesia are saying tsunami waves may reach there, too. We're seeing reports and numbers that you mentioned are changing all the time. The government had recently said about two dozen people had died. Local emergency officials in Japan are now saying more than 30 are dead, but I'm sure those numbers are going to rise.
And in Japan in 1995, the Kobe earthquake was enormous and very devastating to that city. This is estimated to be 1,400 times greater than that. What other places are threatened? I mean, is Hong Kong, for instance, are some of the coastal cities in China under warning at this point?
China and Hong Kong are probably going to avoid anything, mainly because they're buffeted by various islands. This happened off the east coast of Japan, so China shouldn't feel any effects. Neither should Hong Kong. But this is, you're right, this is huge. This is an 8.8 or an 8.9 magnitude quake. The Kobe quake was about 7.2 by comparison. Just about every country ringing the Pacific Ocean except Canada has raised tsunami alerts, so including the west coast of the United States all the way down to South America. So this is pretty significant.
And the Associated Press is reporting that Japan has issued a state of emergency at one of the nuclear facilities after assuring that there was no problem there because they're unable to get the cooling system to kick in and to cool down that reactor. The reactors have been shut down. Joining us now is Emily So, research civil engineer with the U.S. Geological Survey. Emily, I'm just going to run down a list here. We've got Manila, 16 million people, Jakarta, 10 million people, Taipei, 7 million, Hong Kong, 8 million, the L.A. metro area, 17.5 million. There are, just counting the cities, more than 100 million people who live along this ring of fire. It's an enormous global population that appears to be in the crosshairs of this very active earthquake zone. Give us a sense of how active this area is.
Well, the as you call it, the Ring of Fire, the actual plate that subducted, the Pacific plate that subducted underneath the North American plate today moves at a velocity of about 83 millimeters per year. They experience earthquakes throughout the year, but since 1973, they've only had 9 events greater than a magnitude 7. So this is a great earthquake for the region.
And subducted means one plate is actually sucked underneath another plate. They slide over each other, causing these enormous releases of energy.
Yes, that's correct. The Pacific plate is actually thrust underneath the Japan at this Japan Trench, is what it's called, and it dips to the west beneath Eurasia.
Let me ask you, I mean, at this point, they have 6 major tremors, aftershocks within an hour and 15 minutes of the initial event.
Well, there's two dozen, actually.
Well, I'm just talking about originally after the quake. All of them bigger or equal to the last month's quake in New Zealand. How long do the aftershocks continue? And of course, a tsunami is never one wave. This could be an event that continues for quite some time.
Yeah. What we have to remember is that an 8.9 earthquake is a great earthquake. If just putting in terms of what you were talking about just now, Kobe was a 6.8, and this is an 8.9, and it's about 1,400 times stronger than the Kobe earthquake. The aftershocks will continue for how long, we don't actually know, but they will be sizable because of the magnitude of the earthquake. And as you mentioned, there's been over 24 earthquakes, aftershocks, since that quake 5-6 hours ago.
And I'm looking at your site, Emily, the USGS site. It actually gives a list of the quakes that are happening at about a frequency of every 10 minutes or so, some as high as 6. What exactly happened in this area off the east coast of Honshu, Japan, where this is identified? And you can see the list on the USGS site over and over and over again, near the east coast of Honshu, off the east coast of Honshu. Are there more than just one plate in this particular area?
Same segment. If you can imagine the amount of energy that's released from this one slip that happened to produce the 8.9 magnitude, it's almost that the rest of the section, the trench is recovering in some ways, is releasing this energy as aftershocks. And it's radiating down the segment.
Well, the 2004 tsunami had about as much energy, just the wave itself, of 10,000 Hiroshima-style bombs, 23,000 if you include the earthquake itself. That's Emily So, research and civil engineer with the U.S. Geological Survey, watching the aftermath in Japan of this earthquake. New York Times reporter Kevin Drew in Hong Kong. Everyone in the Ring of Fire lives under this kind of threat. Any sense of a kind of regional mobilization to help the people of Japan? They've already deployed their own troops.
Japan has already said that the government has already come out and said that they're accepting any kind of international aid. We're watching right now to see if what the U.S. reaction, what reaction from China will be. But I'm sure that this is going to be coming in the next couple of hours, very shortly.
Two voices there among the many that will be helping us to understand what's happened in Japan this morning. That's Kevin Drew of the New York Times in Hong Kong. Emily Soj also joined us of the U.S. Geological Survey, recapping an 8.9 magnitude earthquake with a tsunami struck 80 miles off Japan's coast hours ago, and the tsunami continues to threaten the Pacific.